Check, check. Wake, how we doing this morning, guys? Good, I love that. Hey, guys, if you haven't heard it yet, I want to be the first to tell you, thank you for coming to Wake this morning. We love hanging out with you guys every Sunday. We're so grateful that you guys would, whether it was your choice or not, still be willing to come and hang out with us and have fun. And so, in case we've never met, my name is Luke Barlow. I'm the Wake Men's Coordinator on staff here at Watermark on the Wake team. And last week, I got to intro our new series that we're doing, and it's called Labeled, as you can tell. And in case you missed it, what we're talking about last week, this week, and next week is really one idea. And that one idea that we've been talking about is identity. It's who you are. And so if you weren't here last week, I got to start off the series by talking about two of the labels or two pieces of our identity, two parts of who we are that we all share. The first one is that we are all made in God's image, that all of us have worth and dignity and significance because we are made in God's image. And the second label, the second piece of our identity that we all share is that we all have been corrupted by sin. And we all are now no longer able to bear God's image the way he called and designed us to on our own. And so before I kind of jump into this next message for today, I want to tell you guys a quick story. So when I was in seventh grade, so when I was y'all's age, I went to a pretty small school. It was kind of new. It was just starting off. It had only been around for a couple years. And so going into my seventh grade year, they announced to us that they were going to start a student council. My school had never had one. And so the moment they announced that, I was like, that's me. I want to be on student council. I was like, I want everyone to know that the one kid in our grade who's top dog, who's got a voice for the voiceless is me. It's Luke Barlow, student council, seventh grade. That's what I wanted. So I told all my friends, I was like, hey, you guys should vote for me. Here are all the reasons that you should vote for me. And I had all these like things I guess that I said I was going to try to do to make the school better. But the truth is, I just wanted to be on student council. I just wanted people to know that, oh, Luke Barlow, yeah, that guy's on student council. He's a big deal. That's what I wanted. And so I got it. I won. People voted me on student council. I was like, yes. I was like, I've made it. I've arrived. This is who I want to be. This is how I want people to know me. The only problem was once I got on student council, what then happened is then every week for the entire year of seventh grade, I had to give up two lunches a week for my student council meetings. We had two lunch meetings a week, every week, all year. And let me tell you guys, that was not fun. I was so bummed that I had to give up two of my lunches every week to go be in student council. And what's worse than that, I can honestly tell you, I don't remember one thing that we did in those student council meetings. I don't remember one thing we tried to change about the school. I don't remember one thing that we talked about. It was honestly a complete waste of time looking back. And so the problem was I wanted to be known by everyone that I was on student council. I thought that would make me a big deal. The only problem was I didn't actually want what came with being on student council. I didn't want the results of being on student council. I just wanted the glory of it. I wanted the identity of it. And the reason I tell you guys that story is because today we're continuing in our series in identity. And the title of this message is called The Labels That Don't Last. And the main thing that I want to talk about that I think God's word teaches us is that, hey, you're going to find your identity somewhere. You're going to put it in something. Whether it's God or something else, you are going to chase identity, chase labels somewhere. And what I think God's word makes really clear is that whatever labels, whatever identity you chase is going to have results. You don't just get to be known by something. You don't get to put your identity in something and there not be a result of that. And so what I want to talk to you guys about today is, man, what are the results of when we place our identity in other things? And so to do that, I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 2. 1 John is a book in the New Testament. It's a really short book. It's a letter that the disciple of John wrote to all believers. He was like, hey, here are the things that you guys should all know and be aware of. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read 1 John 2 verses 15 through 17. And from that passage, we're going to get 2 points that I'm going to tell you guys about for the next 10 minutes. And the 2 points that we're going to talk about are these. The first one is that we have to choose our labels. We have to choose. We have to make a choice. And the second point is that we don't get to choose the results of those labels. So we have to make the choice of what our labels will be, of where we find our identity, but we don't get to choose the results of that. So with that, if you have a Bible, open to 1 John chapter 2, and I'm just going to read the three verses from 15 to 17. So here we go. This is it. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, along with all its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." So right off the bat, our first point, we have to choose our labels. Let's go back to verses 15 and 16. What does it say? It says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father's not in him. Okay, John really quickly presents a problem. He says, hey, you can't love both God and the world. You can't find your identity in both. And honestly, I think we believe the lie that we can. I mean, I know this was true of me, like, where I was like, yeah, you know, I go to church. Like, I care about what God says. I sometimes read the Bible. I want to be a good person, but I also want to be popular. I also want people to like me. I also want to be attractive. I also want to be athletic. So I'm going to chase those things too. I'm just going to do both. And John presents a problem with that. He says, hey, you can't do both. He says, if you love the world, you don't love God. He says, you have to choose. You have to choose. Are you going to love God and the things of God and what he offers? Or are you going to love the world and chase the things of the world and what it offers? Because you can't chase both. You know, John actually helps us. He gives us three examples of what some of the things of the world that we chase are. He says, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. So let's talk about those real quick. Desires of the flesh, what is that? Quite simply, it's what feels good. Desires of the flesh is what feels good. So when it comes to our identity, when it comes to things that we chase to be known by, what feels good? Well, being liked feels good, right? Or being cool, being popular in people's eyes, that feels good. Just having positive opinions or people having positive opinions of you. So doing things to make people like you and think highly of you, that feels good. And John says, man, that's of the world. Desires of the eyes, what's that? It's simply what looks good. So what looks good to the world? Well, being pretty, being athletic, being rich, having your life together, all of those things look really nice. And John says, man, those are of the world. And the last one's the pride of life. What's the pride of life? Quite simply, it's this. It's, man, what can I do on my own? What can I accomplish for my own strength? And so what are some of those things for us? Maybe, again, being athletic. You work harder than anyone. Maybe it's being smart, being intelligent. I'm smarter than everyone here. I work harder and I get the best grades. Maybe it's earning people's approval. You're like, I work really hard so that people notice me and like me and care about me. And I do that on my own. And again, John says, man, those things are of the world. And I want to clarify something real quick. John's not saying, hey, if you want to be a Christian, can't be popular, can't be attractive, can't be athletic. He's not saying that. What he's saying is, you can't love those things. You can't chase them. You can't put your identity in them because those things aren't from God. And he makes it really clear. You can't love both. I mean, this reflects what Jesus says in Luke 9:23. He says, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself. Pick up his cross daily and come after me. You have to deny yourself. And even later in Luke 14, he says something even more dramatic. He says, any of you who don't renounce all that he has can't be my disciple. What he's saying is, if you don't reject all things that you have apart from me, and you choose not to put your identity in them, choose not to love anything that's apart from me, you can't be my, like, you don't understand what it means to love me. And so the truth is, like, the label of being found in Christ, the label of a Christian, is a costly label. Okay, it's freely offered to you. Salvation is a gift that all you have to do is trust that Jesus is who he said he is and did what he said he did. And man, there's salvation and it's free, but the cost of following him means that you say no to the rest of the world. Saying yes to Jesus is saying no to the world. And so maybe some of you are feeling a little scared and you're like, hey, Luke, I'm gonna be honest, like, I think that I do love the things of the world. Are you telling me that I'm not a Christian? I wanna be a Christian, I don't wanna, but I, I think that I love those things. I mean, I would say two things to you. The first one is this: God has not called you to be perfect. He does not expect you to never sin, never mess up, because the truth is this: sin exists in you. And so because sin exists in you, you'll always be tempted to love the things of the world. That's part of our sinful nature. But the choice to say yes to Jesus and no to the world is a daily choice that you make. You daily choose to say yes to the things of God and to reject the world's identity that it offers you. And so there are gonna be days where you fail. There are days that I fail, and there is grace and forgiveness. But the other thing I would say is this: if you are sitting in that chair and you're like, I don't really care what God says. I don't really care about trying to love him more. I just kind of do the right thing because I'm supposed to. And I don't really care about loving God. Then I think I'd challenge you and I'd ask you, do you really believe that the gospel is true? Do you actually believe that you're sinful and broken beyond measure and that there is no hope for you to have a relationship with the God that you were made for unless he did something through his son, Jesus Christ, who came, died, resurrected, and ascended so that you can have life? Do you actually believe that? I would question that. And so, man, that's a question I'd leave you with. So we have to choose the labels. We have to choose where we find our identity. Do we chase after God and what he offers, or do we chase after the world? Because you will follow one. You will love one, but you can't love both. So the second point is this: while we do have to choose where we find our identity, we do have to choose the label that we wear, we don't get to choose the results of it. What does verse 17 say? It says, the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. You see, quite simply summed up, here is the problem with finding your identity in anything the world offers. This is it. This is the whole message. It doesn't last. It doesn't last. Let me give you a couple of examples. Let's think about being popular, right? Let's say that you find your identity in popularity, of people thinking that you're cool and awesome and significant. Well, here's the problem. You're gonna work really hard to be popular. You're gonna try to be funny and try to be cool and try to know everyone. And then guess what? You're gonna go to high school and you're gonna have to start over because it's a new group of people. So you work again to be funny and to understand what makes people like you. And you work really hard to be popular. And then guess what? You go to college. And you have to start over, and you have to do all of it over again of how do I be funny? How do I be cool? Then you get a job and you have coworkers and you've got to start over, and it will never end. And every time that you change the group of people that you're around, that you transition in any way, your popularity fades and it doesn't last. Let's take another example. What about being beautiful or being athletic, being physically attractive? Here's the deal. You're getting older, and I know you don't feel it yet, but in not very many years, your body is gonna start to get older, and it's gonna look that way and it's gonna feel that way. And you can do anything and everything you can to try to stop it, but you cannot stop the fact that you are getting older and your body is breaking down, and it's going to show in the way that it looks and in the way that it feels. And you can't stop that. And so if you find your identity in being beautiful or being athletic, it's gonna fade. One more example. What about just being liked by people? Here's the deal, guys. People change their minds a lot. And so you could do everything you can to just be liked by everyone, for that everyone to think good of you. But the problem is, like, people let you down. Like, the person that whose opinion matters most to you, the person whose opinion that you find your identity in, their opinion is going to change. And it doesn't really have a lot to do with what you do. It has to do with the fact that people change and they let you down. And so if your identity is in someone's opinion of you, it's gonna fail you. And so what happens is we end up spending all of our lives just chasing after an identity that won't last. And we end up exhausted and burnt out and sad and insecure and unconfident. And there's nothing you can do to change that, because everything that the world offers passes away. It doesn't last. And here's the worst part about this. Because the world doesn't last and its desires don't last, the things that an identity in the world offer you also don't last. What do I mean by that? Well, think about being popular. Why do we want to be popular? It makes us feel confident, right? It makes us feel good about ourselves. Guess what? When the popularity fades, your confidence fades. What about being athletic or being beautiful? Why do we want to be that? We want to feel secure, right? We want to feel good about ourselves and accepted. If your identity is found in how you look, then you will become insecure. Or if your value or your identity is found in people's opinions of you, it'll feel good. You'll have happiness and joy while it lasts. But the moment someone's opinion changes, your joy fades. And so all of the reasons that we chase identity and things of the world, all of the things we desire, the things of the world can't give them to you, not long term, maybe short term, but eventually they will fade. But fortunately, John gives us an alternative. What does he say? He says, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. And if you remember, Jonathan talked about abiding. It's this idea of being present, of remaining. So whoever does the will of God remains steadfast forever. And so if you don't know what God's will for you is, let me just tell you, his will for you is quite simply his desire for you. God's will for your life is what he wants for you. So the question is, what does God want for us? I think 1 Timothy gives us a beautiful picture. 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4, it says this. It says, God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Guys, God's will for you, his desire is that you would know and love him, that you would be in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ so that your identity would be found in him. Jesus himself says in Matthew 11, what he says? He says, come to me and I will give you rest. That's so much different than the world. When you're finding your identity in the world, there's no rest. You always have to maintain. You always have to do something to keep up with what the world asks of you. And even in the midst of that, it still doesn't last. But Jesus says, hey, if you come to me, if you find your identity in me, I'll give you rest where you don't have to work to find your identity anymore. And then even later on in this letter, 10 verses later, John says in 1 John 2:28, he says, and now little children, and also he's not writing to children, he's writing to adults. That's just what he calls them. It's a term of endearment. He says, little children, abide in him, abide in Jesus, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. What he's talking about is when Jesus returns, he says, if you abide in Christ, you find your identity in him, you rest in him, when he comes back, you won't be ashamed of your sin and all of your shortcomings because your identity's in him. It says you have confidence. I mean, isn't that what we want, is to be confident in who we are? Christ offers that to you. He says, if you find your identity in me, you will have confidence and you won't be ashamed of your sin and your brokenness. And so to close, I want to answer maybe one more question of, man, how do I know Jesus is worth putting my identity in? You told me earlier, Luke, you said it's costly to follow him. I've got to say no to the world. How do I know it's worth it? And I think one verse that sums it up really well is Hebrews 13:8, which says really simply, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so here's the deal. Ultimately, everything that you put your identity in apart from Christ fails you. It fades away. But Jesus Christ is the same. And so what that means is that the identity you find in him is the same. The rest you can find in putting your identity in him, the rest that comes is steadfast. The confidence that comes through an identity in Christ, it lasts. And so that's my question is, man, are you chasing the world and what it offers you in terms of identity? Because if you are, let me warn you, it will not last. The things that you desire from the world, it will not give you. But in Christ there is identity that lasts. There's rest, there's confidence. And so that's my challenge is, man, say no to the world and say yes to Jesus. Find your identity in him and believe that he loves you and that your identity will be steadfast. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. God, thank you for the truth of our identity in you and that it's steadfast, Lord. Thank you that we don't have to be or do anything other than believe the truth that Jesus, you are who you say you are, that you did come, live a perfect life, die, rise from the dead, and ascend to the right hand of the Father so that if we put our faith in you and your work, we would find identity in you. God, would you help us believe that that identity is enough, that it's worth more than anything that the world could offer? Would you help us believe that it's long-lasting and everything that the world offers is not? Because Lord, we're so tempted to believe the lies that the world can satisfy us and that identity in the world will bring rest and confidence. But Lord, would you help us believe the truth that it won't and that it's only you? God, we love you and we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. See you guys next week. What's up?